The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate responded, "What is truth?" Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. Help us to see Jesus as the one who is truth, the one who is true to your will, to your mission, to your ministry, to redeem, to renew, and to heal this world. Let your word speak to us today, and let it guide us in your way each and every day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In today's gospel, John draws you and me into this scene as spectators who look on as Pilate and Jesus spar with one another. All this takes place, according to John's gospel, on the evening when the lambs are slaughtered in preparation for the coming Passover, when the powerless, the helpless lambs are slaughtered. "Are you the king of the Jews?" Pilate demands as he works his way through his interrogation. "Did you think of this yourself?" Jesus responds, "or did others tell you about me?" "I am not a Jew, am I?" Pilate blares. "Your own people handed you over. What have you done?" As we look on, it seems to be clear where the power lies. Jesus has been arrested, and Pilate holds authority and power over the arresting agency. Jesus, as the Son of Man, has no place to lay his head, yet Pilate has his headquarters from which he operates. Jesus is bound, handcuffed, tied. Pilate is free to go in and to go out of his headquarters, to question, to judge, and to render sentence over those who stand before him. Pilate controls the laws, the economics, and the power, or so it seems for the moment. In his book, Morning Light, the spiritual journal of John Sullivan, John writes these words: "The fundamental reason why Jesus has to die makes the question of responsibility for his assassination pointless." He's referring to the fact that we sometimes argue about who killed Jesus, who was responsible. Was it the Jewish community? Was it Rome? Was it sinners? But he suggests that the reason why Jesus has to die makes that question, it makes it pointless. He goes on to say, "Every society, Jewish or Gentile, that is founded on money, power, and law, condemns him. He puts people first, making economics and politics less important than men and women. In contrast, society, even when it says the opposite, deceiving others as well as itself, considers individuals simply as a means. We are no longer spectators. We are part of a nation. A nation that says people first. We say all people are created equal. All have the right to pursue liberty and happiness. And we have a constitution and a bill of rights that uphold those ideals. We live in a nation and a world. We live in a society founded on money, power, and the law. It seems clear where the power lies. Immigration arguments are more about economics than people far too often. Our response to natural disasters are often more about what we imagine those affected contribute to our nation's coffers than about those who suffer. We think about Puerto Rico and now California and Florida. Our nation's response to the murder of a Saudi Arabian dissident is more about arms sales and protecting the economy. Arms sales that enable and empower that nation to murder and starve children to death in Yemen, their neighboring nation. It is more about power and money and the law than it is about justice, about honor, about upholding the dignity and the serenity of life. A few at the top control the laws, the economics, and the power. Or so it seems for the moment. It's in this context that we hear our readings for the day. And these readings on this Christ the King Sunday are contextually relevant in this world that we live in. And they are gifts to you and me. They are gifts to you and me as children of God, as children of God's reign. And it's my prayer today that these scriptures become a blessing. A blessing to each of us that give us eyes to see the truth, to see where and with whom true power lies. And it's my prayer that for us and for the whole church, Christ the King Sunday is one of those moments where we see that one clearly. For Daniel, the vision was given. A vision of one like a son of man, a human being coming with the clouds of heaven, whose dominion, glory, kingship over all peoples and nations will never be destroyed. This is the one with authority, the one with power, a power that is and will be used justly. For the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation, again, a vision given to John, a vision of Jesus Christ, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings, authorities of the earth, ruler of the kings or the authorities of earth, the one who is the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the one who is, who was, and is coming. It is he who sits on the throne of God. For the author of Psalm 93, this author proclaims that power and dominion belong to the one robed in majesty, the one girded with strength, the one who has established the world from its beginning. This is the one who is in control. This is the one who holds the power of life and death in his hands. This is the one who has ultimate power to free and to bind. It is the one who stands willingly bound before Pilate a scene that we look upon this morning. It is he who was born to be a king and much more. It is he who came into the world to be a king, not from this world, but for this world and beyond. It is he, the one who has come to reveal the truth that God reigns, that God holds power, the truth that the triune God rules and reigns forever, and all stand accountable to him and to his authority. Dear friends, Jesus is Lord and King, and there is no other. Jesus, who accepted death, who surrendered willingly to death so that we might have life, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, who has opened the way for each one of us to be part of his kingdom, its values, its economy. Its economy not of money, but its economy of forgiveness and unconditional love. It's an economy of abundance for the poor and the downtrodden. It's economy of healing for the sick. It's economy of homes for the homeless. It's economy of dignity for all people and for all of life. Today we gather also for the baptism of Asher Michael. Asher Michael, not into the cult of Rod Hop, or not into the family of the Dettermans, but into the family of God, into the kingdom of life, into God's rule, and into God's reign. It is a new reality for Asher's life. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Today, Asher will be baptized into the Lord who is King, and he will become a child of the Most High God. Not because he brings anything to offer. He brings nothing to offer the King, but simply because the King has opened the way for all sinners. Andrew Daughters has written this poem that he has titled The Kingdom of Jesus. What kind of kingdom has Jesus? No castle nor place has he. No Congress or parliament sitting deciding what laws there will be. Perhaps he has need of but two laws, love God and your neighbor as well. To obey them is all that is needed, as all of the saintly can tell. He has neither army nor navy nor air force to guard, the frontiers to keep out, the strangers unwanted and maintain the enemy's fears. Immigration he seems to encourage of some quite disreputable, like fishermen, publicans, sinners, to such he is hospitable. It seems there's no revenue service or taxes we must calculate. He surely cannot run a kingdom on what we put into the plate. No 1040 form comes in April to fill out before the 15th with penalties charged for non-payment beginning upon the 16th. No currencies here with his picture. No coinage engraved with his name. And where are the posters and slogans proclaiming his power and fame? And I see no trappings of kingship, no robes made of velvet and fur, no crown made with gold set with diamonds to benefit our supreme arbiter. Jesus said that his kingdom was really not what Pilate had thought it had been. It was not of this world, and its glory was not of the kind to be seen. For those of us here in his kingdom, there is one thing we have known. Of the kingdoms around in his lifetime, it's the only one left with a throne. Dear friends, we are kids of the kingdom. Our children sang that song for us a couple of years ago after Vacation Bible School. Kids of the Kingdom. That's what we are. And we are called to live in that kingdom's reign. And yes, we have to live with, as Luther talked, one foot in each of those kingdoms. And it becomes a heavy burden and a heavy responsibility at times. But we are called as children of that kingdom to live with that kingdom as our primary focus, as that kingdom of love, that kingdom of forgiveness, that kingdom of grace will lead us and all people to the throne of the true King, to the throne of true grace, our only hope for reconciling, for healing, and for the benefit of this world. Amen.